Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is a podcast about the art and craft of play-by-play, and we're in the middle of an amazing season. Catch up on episodes with Joe Buck, Joe Davis, Pat Hughes, and more, and learn along with me, Matt Spiegel, how the job is done.
It's not just home run Bryce Harper in the Phillies lead. To really do it justice, you got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always good to have you with us on the Hump Show. We tend to get a little off the beaten path. We tend to get a little goofy, color outside the lines, if you will. And even though it's a weird work week for me, it may still be your Hump Show. And I'm glad to share it with you. That's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A couple things that jump out at me the last few hours on our social media. I guess going back to Tuesday afternoon. It blows me away the number of people who think that I am supremely rich and would never have a car loan. Like, I can't get over it. The number of people who've written to me about my really fat radio salary. Jay, where do you think they got this idea? Do you think they Googled radio host salaries on the internet and somehow decided?
I don't think so. Because they wouldn't have.
Well, I don't understand where that idea comes from. We do not work in TV. We work in an industry that is shrinking. Think about the number of broadcasters right now who are out of work, who've been laid off, who've been fired. If you're paying any attention at all to the radio industry, you know there are local stations all over the country that continue to lay off their own hosts. They either bring in hosts that make almost no money, or they can complete the podcasting, which at this point is cheaper. They replace their entire local broadcast with a network broadcast instead, or they completely change formats so they don't have to employ a bunch of talk hosts. Our own company, and I don't know if you're paying attention to the headlines, our own company is perilously close to bankruptcy. So our parent company, not CBS Sports Radio Network. It's a shrinking industry, like many of the others around the corporate world, where there are fewer people doing more work and the same type of challenges with morale and with the quality of the work. You know me, I'll complain about the equipment that we have around here or the fact that there are not enough people to help get the work done. Now, I don't know where people have the idea. Jim Rome is a Hall of Famer. He's been in this business for a long time. Yes, there are people out there, there are radio hosts out there that do make millions. That's not the norm, right? We're not all Pat McAfee who has a corporate partner who poured millions into his show and because of his popularity had been picked up by another network, though weirdly enough, that network will not carry his show. Don't ask me. But if you are watching or listening and maybe you have favorite broadcasters, whether on TV or radio, you recognize it's a very uncertain, unstable business. You can be here one day and gone the next. I do have a contract. It's a fully guaranteed contract for which I am grateful. But hear me, please. I still essentially live paycheck to paycheck. It's radio. If I got into it for the money, I would have been in the wrong business. And I tell young people that I mentor, if you're getting into it for the fame, the fortune, if you're getting into it for your social media, you're getting into it because you think it's the quickest path to being rich, you want to have a cushy life, radio's not for you. Especially when you first get into it. The hours are long. Number one. Number two, you very often work nights and weekends. We still work nights and weekends. So I've been in this business nearly 25 years, and I still work nights and weekends. Now, I've chosen to work nights and weekends, but you don't get to pick and choose what you cover. When you work in network, you have to work when the sports are taking place. And so the reason I continue to work nights is because I prefer to talk about everything right after it just happened. It is laughable. And I have laughed out loud at some of your comments about how I should never have a car loan because I have a cushy radio salary. Jay still lives with his parents because that's how much of a cushy radio salary he has. I mean, I'm telling you, my mom is, for the good portion of my career, I've either had multiple jobs. In fact, as recently as 3 years ago, I had a second job. I have an accounting degree that I use to supplement my income. But a lot of people have to cut corners somehow, especially during the pandemic. So people have moved home. A good portion of our newsroom still lives at home. I mean, it's younger guys, but a good portion of the people that work for CBS Sports Radio behind the scenes still live at home because it's expensive in the New York City area and the company does not pay a whole lot. And it's not exclusive to our company. Yeah, it's the same thing for my previous network and the people that I've worked with. You don't get into radio to become rich and famous. Sure, there are a few that do, but that's not why I got into radio. I don't care about money. But it was a huge deal to pay off my car loan. And yes, I had one going back to 2017. Ooh, 6 years it took me to pay off Princess Leia. I mean, I bought a house 3 years ago. It was the first time in my life that I've ever owned my own house. That should tell you about my cushy radio salary. And I had to save 5 years to do that. So you all are cracking me up with, and not all of you. Some of you appreciate the fact that I'm not that different from you. Do I have what I need? Yes. Do I get to travel, visit family? Sure. Can I blow money like it grows on trees in my backyard? Heck no. And because we grew up pretty poor when I was a kid. And I have an accounting degree. I'm pretty careful with money and pretty frugal with it. So I don't even like to just spend money. I feel guilty even sometimes just spending money, even if I did have it. So I'm always looking for sales. Yeah, I rarely buy anything that's not on sale. So I'm much more like you than you might think. Don't believe the hype about cushy radio salaries. So thank you for those of you who are really excited for me. I do appreciate that. Others of you, you've got delusions of grandeur. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Half hour away from Ask Amy Anything. No, I'm not going to tell you my salary because it's not important. We in mixed circles, in mixed company, we do not talk about finances. It's a little tacky. So for that reason, I should apologize to producer Jay. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that you still live at home, right? We've talked about this before, but I apologize because for the second time tonight, maybe I've gotten a little personal. Are you
just
mad at me in there?
Me over here, left and right.
I'm not bashing. I was not bashing
I'm
you.
Kidding.
Come
I'm
on.
Kidding.
I do not bash you. My nieces still live at home. Well, one of them still lives at home. A lot of people still live at home or moved home during the pandemic because it was really expensive. But that's probably not my story to share. Although I think we've talked about it before, right? And actually, This week, Jay gets to have the run of the house. No dog, no family, no nothing.
Yeah, well, if I didn't live home, I couldn't work here. So that's about how that works.
Yeah. So that's the point is you don't get in this business because you think you're going to make a lot of money. It's a bad idea. So, but I am sorry, Jay, if that came across as too personal.
No.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for understanding me. So that's Jay and I. We're pretty much in this. Well, we're not exactly in the same boat. That wouldn't be fair because I've a lot of experience and I am a host. My name's on the show, which means I get blamed when things go wrong. So yeah, we tend to make it a little more when we are the, I'm using my air quotations, the talent, because we're the ones that also get fired when things don't go well or when ratings are down or when companies are seeking to trim salary and trim expenses were the ones that get Das Boot. Again, as you know, from some of the layoffs and cuts that are taking place in the sports broadcasting industry. All that to say, I've seen your messages and you make me laugh out loud. But there have also been the opposite. And I wanted to acknowledge these. Sorry about that. Though I will not single them out, nor will I read them on the air. A couple of times over the last 24 hours, I have come across messages on either Twitter or Facebook thanking me, thanking our show for being a lifeline late at night. And they've touched me, and I've written back to one listener who reached out, and I will write back to the other. In both cases, the listeners who reached out indicated that they have suffered a severe loss of a loved one, painful loss of a loved one in the past few months. I'm not sure exactly how recently. And in both cases, these listeners wrote that our show has offered a distraction, has offered some humor, has been an opportunity to, at least for a few moments or a little while, forget, if you will. And I know that that's a misnomer when we've lost someone, when we're suffering through any type of a difficult, painful, heartbreaking situation. And it doesn't have to be the loss of a loved one. It could be a health challenge. It could be anything. Life flat out sucks sometimes. It really does. But if we can offer a lifeline, if you will, if we can offer a connection so that you know that you're not alone, that means the world to me. It really does. I know that there are times where I, in my own life, because it's been a tough stretch, maybe I'm not sleeping well, or maybe it's the other extreme. When we lost Grammy Helen last summer, or even in times of natural disasters or man-made disasters, mass shootings, or something else that weighs heavily on not just me, but on many of you who listen, when it seems like our society, our United States of America, is blowing up before our eyes. I know that there are times where I struggle because it feels like sports do not matter. And where it feels almost fake. It feels disingenuous and inauthentic for me to sit down here and talk about sports and laugh and be goofy the way that I am. But I do that because over the course of my 10 plus years here, and over the course of my time at my previous network, and really over the length of my career since I've been a talk show host, people will reach out to me and say, I needed to hear your show during this difficult stretch of my life, or I needed the companionship. It's one of the things that I love about radio that's very different from TV. And I'm not saying you don't feel like sometimes you really know the anchors or the personalities on TV, because if actors or anchors, reporters are good at their jobs, you do feel like you know them. In radio, though, we have the benefit of time. And when it comes to a regular show like ours with 4 hours a night, I work really hard at establishing a connection. That's really become my goal with the show going back to the pandemic, when I was working from home, staring at a a corner in my spare bedroom for 3.5 months and feeling like I needed a connection because I lived alone other than the zoo. And they all sat there and stared at me every single night. I understand what it means to be isolated or be by yourself or to be going through a painful stretch. And so I want to use my show to connect with people. And I want you to feel as though you have a companion and that I care, because I do. And it's impossible to personally communicate with every one of you on social media. And I really don't trust social media anyway, but I do my best to reply, to let you know that I've read or I care. I mean, you should know I read every single tweet that is sent to me, every single one of them, even the nasty ones. I do mute and block liberally, but I also read them first. And many of you are personally invested in my life, in the show, and that means a lot to me. And as I say, if we can let you know that you're not alone, we're honored to keep you company. If that's what you need, while I don't always understand how this show can help, right? Just being in the middle of it, it seems so unfathomable to me that it could be a light in the dark, so to speak. I am honored to have that role. And I'm so grateful that some of you reach out at times and say, hey, I wouldn't have made it through without your show. I mean, I've heard that and I've seen that before. Again, it blows me away. I don't even know how that can possibly be true. But for that reason, I show up here. And even when things are really hard, I want you to know that we try, right? We try to insert some joy, some humor, some light, just an opportunity for you to know you're not by yourself. And so thank you to those of you who sent the tweets, even those of you who are woefully ignorant about what type of money I make in this job. And why does that even matter? I have no idea. But if what happens through the show is that we let people know they're not alone, we make connections, you can rely on us, we're consistently here providing that companionship, well, that is more than I could ask for. It's so much more important than talking about sports. Gosh, that's what I say. When it seems like sports don't matter, I try to focus on the connection, the companionship, the relationship, the human element, because that is what matters. Sports come and go. Events come and go. Scores, champions, they come and go. People are the most important thing. And I'm glad that comes through in some way, shape, or form. I'm glad it shines through. We're about 20 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. Oh, see, be careful what you wish for. When you say you want to get to know me more, just be careful. So send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Coming up, Texas Rangers may not be quite as hot as the Los Angeles Dodgers, but boy, do they seem to be in some kind of a groove right now while the Angels are going the wrong way. And I mean drastically falling off the map. At least they've got company, because the Yankees, oh yeah, they're also backpedaling like nobody's business. It's a little more diamond drama straight ahead here After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And one to Seager, the pitch, he swings and hits one high in the air to deep left center field. Adams back at the track, the wall leaps up, that ball is caught! Or did he catch it? No, it's a home run! First pitch to Seager, he swings, hits a high fly ball to right field. Renfro turns, he watches, that one, long gone! A majestic home run off the bat of Corey Seager that touched the moon.
The pitch, and Corey lines one to center. There's a base hit. One run is home. Here comes Durant to the plate, and he will score. It's a two-run single for Seager. A five RBI game and a 7-1 Rangers lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Rangers may not have 9 wins in a row, but they're just as hot as the Dodgers right now. And remember, this is with the move made by the Houston Astros to put pressure on them, bringing back Justin Verlander. And since that point, not only have the Rangers seen Mad Max Scherzer revert to vintage form, but the offense is on fire right now. Corey Seager, since returning to the lineup, he's been locked in 3 for 5, a pair of home runs, 5 RBI on Tuesday night. That's the Rangers Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, you could point to the offense, and they're definitely blasting the Angels. We'll get to you, Phil Nevin. But how about Jordan Montgomery? On Tuesday night, going 6 innings, allowing a single run, he strikes out 9. And if the Rangers are going to get that kind of pitching when it's not Max Scherzer, I mean, this is part of the reason why they've been able to stay on top of the AL West, because they've also had the pitching to go along with the pop.
Great work by Monty. And mixed it up well, using both sides, changing speeds, induced a lot of ground balls. Just a really nice job of pitching out there. And good competitor, as you have seen since he's been here.
I think once the staff builds some momentum, it kind of, you just want to go out there, do your job, and pass off the ball to the next guy. So when you got as many starters as we do that are as talented as we are, you can build some momentum for sure.
Remember how Jacob DeGrom was supposed to be part of this starting rotation? Yeah. The Rangers still have a 3.5-game cushion over the Astros, and they've now won, again, 8 of their last 10. In their brand-new home, they have the best home record in the American League, right? So they've got the brand-new ballpark at Arlington, best home record in the National League, even better than the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. As for the Angels, it's going from bad to worse. It's actually getting worse. I said to you last night that I wondered whether or not this was rock bottom for the Angels. Messi. I looked up, and every 5 seconds, Messi is on my screen. I'm so sorry. That was one of those where it's the power of suggestion. You know how you go to the movie theater, and they put up the gorgeous, and I mean just scintillating, big old tub of yellow buttered popcorn. It's accompanied by your favorite fountain drink, and it looks beautiful as they're pouring it out of the cup and it's bubbling all over. Oh, it's just wrong. Don't do that to us. It's the power of suggestion, subliminal messages and subliminal advertising. So every time I look up, I see a pink Messi on the screen, and that's just what came out.
Well, now I really want movie theater popcorn.
I had some as my pregame meal. It's turning into a regular thing with me. Okay, not messy. Back to Shohei Ohtani. Finding out that Ohtani will miss his next start because of fatigue. Yes, they've had pitching issues for, gosh, as long as I can remember, going back to their last playoff appearance. It's easy to point to Lucas Giolito. It's clear that this, at least right now, isn't working out for the Angels. He gives up 3 runs in the 3rd inning for the Rangers. But what about the offense? They're just not at this point generating enough to be able to keep up with some of the better teams in the American League.
Score runs. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. We're taking the swings and hitting balls at people for one, and just not mounting anything early with less than 2 outs. So when you get base runners on, it's usually late in an inning, and one more swing is and an out gets you out of it. So we're just not mounting anything together. We face some tough pitchers, yes, but you got to beat the good ones too.
Phil Nevin is frustrated. You can hear it in his voice. But what are you going to do? They've had a few stretches where they've all been pulling together, but you're missing one of the best players in Major League Baseball. There's still no timetable for Mike Trout's return. Shohei Ohtani is exhausted, which isn't a surprise. He's been doing everything all season. And now when you get to the point where the heat is at its height, the humidity at its height in the summertime, the travel that they're doing, it's impressive that he's managed to be productive in both the batter's box as well as on the mound to this point. Not that the Angels are asking for him to do this, but he does want to contribute in both ways, and we've seen the fatigue start to creep in now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So at least the Angels have company. You know that misery loves company. Well, there's plenty of misery for the New York Yankees, who right now are getting blasted on the road in Atlanta.
Severino, in his mind, you'd imagine, thinking, please don't give up another first inning run. He has been going through those battles all year. He's been lit up early. And this is a drive to center field. May just lit him up again to the wall. Bader, that is gone. Three-run home run and the first inning rampage continues. 1-1 and a deep drive to center. Bader back to the warning track. Bader to the wall and goodbye. Straightaway center field, a two-run homer for Ronald Acuna. 5-0 Braves.
On Braves radio, and they're pounding the Yankees pitching. You hear the comment there about Luis Severino. And the Braves offense is tough, to be sure. But when you can't get a quality starter or quality start from your starter, I guess would be a better way to say it, the Yankees right now are sunk. Meanwhile, Bryce Elder, fantastic, allows just a single hit. In fact, he's the only one who gave up a hit among the Braves pitchers. I think there were three of them, two relievers after him. So you have a single hit off Elder, and the Atlanta pitching was just as dynamic as the hitting on Tuesday night. They are a juggernaut right now.
The past couple weeks, I was kind of getting, I would almost like outgroove my groove. I don't want to call it loose focus, but it was like I would get a couple ground balls, and the next thing you know, I'd walk to guy, and I was down 2-0, and it was just happening quick. So tonight, just kind of, even though I walked a few, I thought they were walked in good spots and managed them well, so I was pleased with it.
Yeah, so Bryce Elder is fantastic. It's a shutout, combined shutout over the Yankees. The offense puts up three runs in the first against Severino, which right away takes some of the pressure off the starter. Marcell Ozuna with his 24th home run. I don't think this is a revelation, but I just can say it. There's no way anybody in the NL East catches the Braves. As well as the Marlins and Phillies have played in stretches, there's no way. Of course, that's not a guarantee of anything. Last year, the Braves won the division and 101 games and still were out short of the NLCS. As for the Yankees, at this point, playoff hopes are fading. Since July 4th, land of the free, home of the brave, red, white, and blue, go USA. Since July 4th, they're 12-22. They are 10 games below 500 since July 4th. All kinds of problems. And now they're actually back to 500, so they're 60 wins, 60 losses. It's been decades since they were sitting at 500 this late in a season. And keep in mind, Aaron Judge is back in the lineup.
Not a loss. You know, we're not showing up. That's what it comes down to. We're not showing up, you know, when we need to, you know, especially down the stretch right now. And, you know, we got every opportunity to, you know, keep ourselves in the race. You know, we're, you know, not capitalizing when we need to. So that's all I got on that. Well, no one's happy about it, you know. You know, but it goes back to the beginning of the year. You know, every game's important. You know, starting off the year, you know, you gotta come out of the gates hot. You know, but there's still, we got quite a few ball games left.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, this is, you know, we're just so simply cranky. Not playing well enough. And, you know, that's, you know, starts with me and on down. We got to be better. I mean, that's a broken record, right?
Aaron Boone's quote is going viral. It's definitely clickbait on social. It's like a broken record. It is. What else can you say? I feel the same frustration and crankiness from both Aaron Boone and Phil Nevin. They're in lockstep right now. You could substitute the quotes one for the other, and you wouldn't know the difference. Sometimes you just can't get the ship turned around. All right, coming up, your chance to ask Amy anything as part of the Hump Show. Last couple minutes to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. So producer Jay is on the lookout. You know, it's your favorite time of the week. Well, it's Lisa's favorite time of the week. She's one listener who every single week says, my favorite time of the week. Yay. At least one of us is happy.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Since we are asking you a question on this edition of the show, more like a fill in the blank, or that's the form. The NFL season will be a success if what? And you're, of course, answering for your team, though I can't guess who your team is, so try to make it obvious for us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Poor producer Jay, his hair is currently on fire. There's a lot going on. It's blowing up behind the scenes and behind the double pane glass. But I think that he's breathing now and is ready to go with Ask Amy Anything.
We will press on.
Your questions.
I got to start here. This one caught my eye. One of the first ones that came in tonight, and I wanted to ask it. I've been waiting for it.
Okay.
Mike wants to know, what was the worst weather event that you ever had to experience firsthand?
Oh, gosh, I've been through a bunch of them. Growing up in the Northeast, but also with a grandmother, well, grandparents, but a grandmother when I was an adult who lived in Northeast Ohio. I remember at one point driving from where I was living in Rochester, New York, to visit my grandmother. It was late at night, and I was going out Western New York and then down south from Erie to go into Pennsylvania, or in Pennsylvania, south from Erie to get down to Interstate 80 and then over into Ohio. So for people who don't know, it's Interstate 79, if I remember correctly, and it's up in the corner. Maybe it's not 79. Anyway, actually it is, because that's in Erie, sorry. So Interstate 79, and you're talking Western New York and lake effect snow, and there was a whiteout, blinding, blizzard conditions, whiteout situation that I'm driving in. My car does a 360 in the middle of the highway. Thankfully, there were no other vehicles around. This was, again, late at night. Every now and then a semi would pass me, but that was pretty much it. I did a 360 in the middle of the highway. Thankfully, the car did not get stuck, but I couldn't see farther than the end of the hood of my car. That's how bad it was. And there was no place to stop because you're on this desolate stretch of the interstate, just south of Erie. And there's snow piling up so fast that you really can't do anything about it. So that was scary. I mean, I had to just keep going, and I'm inching along, but I can't see anything in the middle of the night. So that was one.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying. Not the first snowstorm I've been in, but definitely blizzard whiteout conditions. It also happened one day when I was driving back to Syracuse not long after I'd graduated. It's springtime, and we hit a snow squall on the thruway, the New York thruway, up headed toward Syracuse, so going west toward Syracuse. Same thing. Middle of the daytime, though. Whiteout conditions, can't see a damn thing. Cars are not only driving off the road, but there's accidents everywhere. I mean, it was also very scary. And I would say the other one, the craziest weather event I've ever been in, this goes back to my days living in Connecticut, working at my previous network. We had a hurricane come through, and it was not just the rain, but because it was October, it was so cold that the rain, it was essentially an ice storm. It was a hurricane, but it was an ice storm. So we, in my town, we got hit harder than any other town in Connecticut. 9 days without power. 9 days.
Wow.
Now it was cold outside, so I could put a lot of what was in my fridge out into the snow and the ice on my back porch. I also had not a fireplace, but a wood stove that heated the entire downstairs.
Nice.
But I'm not kidding. It dropped to the 40s in my house, and I had no power for more than a week. I was going to work, and so I would take my phone. I could access the showers there at the gym. I could charge my phone. I would work. But yeah, the first night of the ice storm, I had to sleep on the floor in one of the studios because I couldn't get home. There are trees down all over the place.
Stop.
But then even when I did get home, it was 42 degrees in my house at night, and I slept upstairs. And so I would pile on a bunch of blankets. Now, thankfully, I wasn't as ill-informed as some people who were using their gas grills inside to warm themselves up.
That's not what that's going
to
do.
I swear to you, people died because they lit their gas grills in their homes to try to warm up their bedrooms.
Wow.
And then they died, obviously. Yeah. From the carbon monoxide poisoning.
I mean, plus, not even that way. Just not having heat in that sort of cold, like you're elderly or younger.
Yeah, I know. It's scary. It's, right.
Wow.
9 days without power. I remember I was in the basement and I was scooping cat litter in the daytime. And all of a sudden, I realized the light was on. I start screaming on the phone with my mom. Oh my God, we have power. We have power. We have power.
I just got to ask you quick before we move on here. Have you ever been in a tornado or seen a tornado in Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen multiple tornadoes, and then the effects of them at NF5 and the swath of damage it leaves a mile wide at the base. And yeah, it's pretty scary.
All right, moving on to the food portion here.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
So Nohemi asks, do you eat breakfast before going to sleep, or do you eat breakfast food when you wake up in the afternoon?
No, I eat it before I go to bed. So every morning when I get home, I am so hungry, my stomach is growling. It's a routine thing. I try to bring enough snacks, healthy snacks, but my stomach always starts growling in the final hour of the show, like clockwork. And I love breakfast food. So when I get home, I have a rotation. Oatmeal, cereal with blueberries, and then eggs. And so this morning, it will be 3 eggs, a whole wheat wrap, mozzarella cheese, and some salsa. That will be my breakfast. See, I plan for it. I do love breakfast food. So every morning when I get home, I eat breakfast.
I think you just inspired me for my breakfast. Thank
I inspired you. You're welcome.
Brian asks, which fast food French fries are your favorite?
Oh, this is so tough. I got to go with McDonald's. I do love Wendy's fries, but I feel like McDonald's they've captured the essence of what it means to be a perfect fast food French fry. I don't think that, it's going to drive me crazy. It's a restaurant chain. Red Robin.
Yeah.
They have amazing fries, but I don't think that counts as fast food, right?
Some might. I've never been actually to a Red Robin, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't think that counts as fast food.
It's more of a restaurant, yeah, I'd say, than a fast food.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the McDonald's fry is the perfect food, I think, in general.
Jay would live on fast food if he could.
It's perfect.
Fast food and convenience store food.
Well, our friend Matthew also wants to weigh in. He wants to know which fry, regular or curly?
I go with regular. Regular seems to keep their heat longer. Curly fries, I feel like they get colder quicker, but I could just be making things up. But I do love curly seasoned fries. Actually, my favorite, if I'm going any kind of fry, would be sweet potato fries. Those are my absolute favorite.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Last one here in the food. Gary asks, do you or have you ever used an air fryer?
No, I don't have one, although Bob has one and is trying to convince me that it's a necessary kitchen appliance. I just use my oven or my microwave. I don't know.
They're all right.
I do have crock pots and stuff. My sister-in-law also loves her new air fryer. She got one at Christmas time. It's her favorite thing now.
So this one comes in from David, who wants to know, how does going to church help your life and your career?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it reminds me that faith is my foundation. It also connects me with people who have the same values and faith that I do. It certainly gives me the opportunity to serve. So whether I'm serving as a Sunday school teacher, which is what I have been doing now for about 8 years, fourth and fifth graders, that's the age group I teach right now, or whether it's about serving by welcoming people and being a greeter or whatever it happens to be. So it just reminds me that the world does not revolve around me. It gives me a chance to exercise my faith in God and to connect with people who do the same. I get to sing, get to hear wisdom, preach from the Bible. So yeah, there's lots of ways, but mostly I would say it's just a weekly reminder of serving other people and how important that is, and giving of your time and energy, but also reminds me that no matter how tough things get in life, whether it's family, whether it's work, whatever's going on, faith is my foundation and is the reason why I am who I am.
Nice. A different David now asks.
A different David. How do you know it's a different David?
The last name.
Yes, that would give it away.
A different David asks, what is your favorite airline and why?
That's a good one. Probably Delta, though I don't fly it as much as I used to because the number one airport I use, United, is the hub. But I do like Delta. I feel like it's more comfort. It's also more on time, though I guess that's relative these days. And also, my American Express is connected to Delta frequent flyer miles. Right now, I'm sitting on 71,000 frequent flyer miles that I will be using for a vacation in 24. But yeah, I've been collecting them since before the pandemic. And so I've got a free plane ticket right there. I gotta use it. It has to be something epic, Jay. I can't just use it to, you know, go to Atlanta or something.
No,
it has,
no.
to, it has been, to be epic.
You've been racking those up. That's got to be used for like a once-in-a-lifetime trip or something like that.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Phil asks, do you have any plans for your next vacation?
Yes. Wait, does Houston and over Labor Day weekend count? Probably
not.
So. No, it does not. Come on.
You're not home. You're away.
It doesn't matter. It's not a vacation. It's a break before football season starts. Yes. Thanksgiving on the beach in South Carolina. That's the next. That's what I'll classify as the next vacation. That's, yeah. That's most of Thanksgiving week. Not all of it, but most of it. So I'll go with that.
Frank asks, did you ever have a pair of Chuck Taylor Converse All-Stars?
I didn't. However, I used to admire people that did. I didn't have fancy sneakers like that. My favorites were when they were green. Celtics green.
That was the follow-up. What color?
Larry Bird and Celtics green. He wore white mostly, I guess. But I do love the bright Celtics green. If they're vintage now.
Yeah, they're actually around a lot more now.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had a pair.
All right, we'll end here with a little rapid fire. Crossword puzzles or word search?
Oh, word search. Actually, I'll go Wordle. I still love Wordle. I'm doing it still.
Any streak going?
I actually forgot to finish yesterday, so no, I'm back to zero.
Lawn darts or cornhole?
Cornhole.
Watercolor or oil paint?
Oil paint.
Learn German or learn French?
Italian.
Magic carpet or witch's broom?
What?
What would you rather fly on?
I'll go with Aladdin, magic carpet.
Explore space or explore the ocean?
Explore the ocean.
Have a pet snake or a pet turtle?
I had a pet turtle. I love turtles.
No electricity or no running water?
No electricity.
Travel for 5 years in an RV or 5 years in a sailboat?
An RV. You can explore more things that way.
Last one, hang out with Tom Hanks or hang out with Harrison Ford?
Tom Hanks is my all-time favorite. Whoa. Gotta go with Tom. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.